हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So Paramatma Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna 3, Description of the Gunavatars. So page 27. Riti. Having discussed the appearance of the three Gunavatars and their respective functions of creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the universe, the next few Anuchetas elucidate on the supremacy of Vishnu over Brahma and Shiva. In the next Anucheta, Srila Jiva Goswami refers to the incident where the sages plan to send Bhrigu Muni to test who among the three Gunavatars is supreme. After carefully examining the three personalities, Bhrigu discerns that Lord Vishnu is supreme. Anucheta 11. Once, O king, as a group of sages were performing a Vedic sacrifices on the bank of the river Saraswati, a controversy arose among them as to which of the three chief deities is supreme. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.89.1. Following this, there's a story involving the three avatars. It is well known that Brahma and others always go to the milk ocean where Vishnu resides in order to request protection of the universe. As mentioned in Padma Purana, that place is well known as Vishnu's planet. In the Vishnu Sahasranam, Vishnu is also called Kshirabdi Mandira, he who has his palace in the milk ocean. Aniruddha is also known as the ruler of Svetadvipa, since Aniruddha appeared directly as the third Purusha. This verse is spoken by Sukadeva. Vishnu is supreme among the Gunavatars.
That is that is a side heading put by the translator, whoever edited. That's not supposed to be there.
Right, this Vishnu is supreme among the Gunavatars. Yeah, because it hasn't come to a conclusion yet.
Yeah.
That just says where he is.
He put that, saying that the next verse explains that. Like that he put some side headings. I generally omit somehow this.
Oh, this one didn't. Yeah, because then that just goes into your Riti.
Mm-hmm.
Riti. The next Anucheta stresses that only Lord Vishnu can give liberation to the devotees who worship him without material desires. Whereas other demigods, like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, can only give temporary relief from the sufferings provided by material facilities, by providing material facilities to their devotees. Thus, Lord Vishnu is superior to all the demigods because the results obtained by worshipping him are of superior nature. Anucheta 12. The relative importance of the three is revealed in that story. This is also explained elsewhere. The one supreme Purusha, accepting the gunas of Prakriti, known as Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas for creation, maintenance, and destruction, is called Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. The best results for the devotees will come from Vishnu, with Shuddha Sattva body. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.23. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The Vishnu, or the deity of the quality of goodness in the material world, is the Purusha avatar known as Kiruraksai Vishnu, or Paramatma. Brahma is the deity of Rajas, passion, and Shiva of ignorance. They are the three departmental heads of the three qualities of the material creation, the material world. Creation is made possible by the goodness of Vishnu, and when it requires to be destroyed, Lord Shiva does it by the Tandavan Nritya. The materialist and the foolish human beings worship Brahma and Shiva respectively. But the pure transcendentalists worship the form of goodness, Vishnu, in his various forms. Vishnu is manifested by his millions and billions of integrated forms and separated forms. The integrated forms are called Godhead, and the separated forms are called the living entities, or the jivas. Both the jivas and Godhead have their original spiritual forms. Jivas are sometimes subjected to the control of material energy. But the Vishnu forms are always controllers of this energy. When Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, appears in the world, he comes to deliver the conditioned beings who are under the material energy. Such living beings appear in the material world with intentions of being lords, and thus they become entrapped by the three modes of nature. As such, the living entities have to change their material coverings for undergoing different terms of imprisonment. The prison house of the material world is created by Brahma under instruction of the personality of Godhead. And at the conclusion of a kalpa, the whole thing is destroyed by Shiva. But as far as the maintenance of the prison house is concerned, it is done by Vishnu, as much as the state prison house is maintained by the state. Anyone, therefore, who wishes to get out of the prison house of material existence, which is full of miseries, like repetition of birth, death, disease, and old age, must please Lord Vishnu for such liberation. Lord Vishnu is worshipped by devotional service only. And if anyone has to continue prison life in the material world, he may ask for relative facilities for temporary relief from the different demigods like Shiva, Brahma, Indra, and Varuna. No demigod, however, can release the imprisoned living entity from the conditioned life of material existence. This can be done only by Vishnu. Therefore, the ultimate benefit may be derived from Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.23 purport. Yes, just like you see, you can bring in a contractor like that to build a prison, and you can bring in other contractors if it's, you know, old and that, and to take it apart. But to maintain it, that's done by the state. These others can't do that. Though there is one supreme person.
It is said here that the Jivas sometimes are subjected to the material energy.
Yes.
Can we say that the jiva who are not subjected to the material, who have never been subjected to the material energy, are part of the internal energy of Krishna?
No, it means they're no different than those who are subjected to the material energy.
Yes.
It's just their consciousness never was polluted. So their jiva, the tathasta shakti, is an expansion of the internal potency.
Yes.
But it's still, they're in tathasta shakti. They're not part of antaranga shakti. But they're an expansion of that.
Yes.
So in that way, then, yes. But at the same time, as that's expansion of Krishna. So in that way, then, we're Krishna.
Yes.
But the difference is that we're tathasta, and they're antaranga. Right? So they're always fire. And we're like iron and fire. Like that. So then it's as good as fire. Like that. So that's why we say it's as good as fire, so it's dealt with as fire. So no one makes that distinction.
Mm-hmm.
The living entities that are jivas, the living entities that are antaranga shakti, in the spiritual world, no one makes the distinction. Like that. And whether they were conditioned before or not, no one makes that distinction. Does that make sense? Yes.
The primary qualities of jiva, then one of the qualities anu by nature, means infinitesimal, whereas paramatma is vibhu, unlimited.
Yes.
So, because of the nature of that quality itself, then he has the tendency to get subjugated by material energy if he remains separate from internal energy. So as long as the tathasta shakti is in contact with the internal shakti, he's never subjugated. But as soon as he's separated, and because of his nature of being infinitesimal, he can be easily subjected to.
Yeah, then he comes under external.
Mm.
So just as we're under now the external energy, you know, so non-different, but at the same time different, same time we'll be under the internal energy. So it's the same, but you know, still individual.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's why we're always servant of the servant.
Yes.
Right? The internal energy is the servant's.
Yes.
And we're their servants.
And if not, we are serving the external energy.
Yes. That's the choice. You look at the menu, that's what's on the menu.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, by rasa, also we can remain happy being a servant. But also by tattva, if we understand, we are servant because it's not
yes.
So if we cannot maintain the consistency in rasa that we are the servant, why it happened? go back to tattva and check who you are and come
check
back.
Check where you are. Because that's the point. The jiva is always servant. Everyone's servant. But we're servant of the servants.
Yes.
Like that. Technically servant of the servant of the servants. Because Radharani is the servant. Then all the other major people, they're servant of the servant. And so then we're assisting. Like that. Though there is one supreme person, when related to the gunas, he accepts designations as Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. That means he appears as these three persons. Though he accepts these designations among them, the best results, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, and bhakti, arise from Vishnu, the deity in charge of sattva, sattva tanoho. The meaning is this. When Brahma and Shiva are worshipped out of great foolishness by a person with material coverings, dharma, artha, kama, which arise from rajas and tamas, do not give much happiness. When these Brahma and Shiva are worshipped by a person without material conceptions, the person can gain liberation, but not directly and not immediately. By repeatedly searching out and discovering that these forms are amshas of Paramatma, liberation arises from Paramatma. Brahma and Shiva do not give the best results, since they do not reveal directly the form of Paramatma. Worshipping Vishnu with material desires, material ideas, dharma, artha, and kama give happiness since sattva brings about auspiciousness. However, worshipping Vishnu without material desires, nishkama, without artha, dharma, and kama, produces liberation. Since it is said, sattva sanjayate jnanam, knowledge arises from sattva, Bhagavad Gita 14:17. Kaivalyam sattvikam jnanam. Knowledge concerning the jiva, apart from the body, is in sattva. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.25.4, right? Because knowledge of the jiva is jnanam, right? So knowledge concerning the jiva, apart from the body, is in sattva. Right? So what we see is dharma, artha, kama, that'll be passion, ignorance. Passion, because we want the material facilities, you know, we want to enjoy, and ignorance, because we think we're the body, and these facilities are going to be good for the body, right? So that's going to be there. Is that, yeah? So this is goodness, but it's not pure goodness. Pure goodness means understanding the Lord.
Summarizing these four Purushottas, when we goodness produce worshipping Vishnu produce liberation. So this is a moksha.
With nishkam. Yeah, it means that it's pointing out here is that moksha comes very easily by worshipping Vishnu, but Brahma and Shiva, it's very slow and it's indirect and everything, because they can't give. And it's only after a long time. Like someone who worships Brahma, they may go to Brahma's place. Only when the universe ends, at that time, then you may be liberated with Brahma. While for Vishnu, then it's... Because if you're worshiping Krishna, then in devotional service, then liberation is included. Right? Means if you're serving Krishna, then you're already out of the material position.
Yes.
Right? Skanda Purana Send says, Bandako bhava pashena bhava pashach cha mochaka kaival yada param brahma vishnur eva sanatanaha. Vishnu binds the jivas with the ropes of the material world and liberates the jiva from the same ropes. Eternal Vishnu, the Supreme Brahman, is the giver of liberation. But by completely giving up designations, being without upadhi, the fifth goal, bhakti, appears, since the Lord appears in the form of Paramatma. Thus all auspicious results are obtained from Vishnu. Right, so you see is that when we worship the Lord for material facilities, dharma, artha, and kama, then those come much more easily. And because then by worshiping the Lord, we're situated in goodness.
Yes.
Right? Then then, but it still has that aspect, the troubles that will come up from passion, ignorance, from dealing in those areas. Then by worshiping with, that's with Sakam, then it's with Nishkam, then you're going to get liberation. You know, it just comes so easy with Vishnu. But when you give up, because on both of those, there's the identification of being separate from the Lord. You know, some external identification is there. And so then when one gives up that upadhi, those upadhis, then one can worship in pure goodness. And so then that gives bhakti. So that's why we're so careful about these upadhis. Like that. It means you know what you're working with, because you know what body you have, what it can do, what its capacities are. That doesn't mean you're identifying with it. Right? Does that make sense? It's just like, we're not the car. You know, like some people really identify with their car. But we're not the car, but that doesn't mean the car doesn't remain the car. And the car, you know, the technicalities of what makes the car run still remain. Right? So just by saying we're not the body doesn't mean the body goes away. So, therefore, you can know what are the conditioned state and know how to use that for Krishna. But if you identify with that conditioned state, you know, and try to make it into, you know, that it's an important part of bhakti, knowing it, but they identify with it, then the point is you can only get, then dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, those are easily available. But bhakti will be very difficult, because this will be a stumbling block on the path of bhakti. Is that? Yeah. Vritti. Having concluded that Lord Vishnu is the supreme among the guna avatars, the author next addresses the doubts that may arise based on the statements of scripture, which state that the three personalities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, are non-different. He describes that the three personalities are amshas of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and hence cannot be independent or absolutely different, because the one supreme Purusha Vishnu, who is the source of the three personalities, is the ultimate controller. But the difference is still evident because Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are indirect means of realization of the Supreme Brahman, whereas Lord Vishnu is Brahman himself. Right? Through them, you can get indirect realization of Brahman. But Krishna is Brahman. So by worshipping him, automatically, why Brahman realization wouldn't be there? Why liberation wouldn't be there? If you're worshipping Krishna, and he is, you know, and he is Bhagavan, he is Paramam, he is Brahman. So automatically, why wouldn't the Brahman aspect be there? Liberation, right? But with Brahma and Shiva, they're not Brahman. So for them to be involved in the process of liberation is going to be indirect. Does that make sense? Anucheta 13. Some rebellious persons resist this conclusion based on statements saying that the three are non-different. To that we answer as follows. Though they are different in positions in regards to gunas, one Supreme Purush is the controller. Thus, it is impossible to take them as different. Such statements are non-difference are true in that sense.
Can we say that actually those who think like that, that they are non-different in everything, they would not be swayed from their conclusion by those statements anyway? Because it's the matter not of the logic, but of the faith.
That's there. But that's the point, is that have you ever had a situation where someone asks a question and you give the answer and they just do not understand it, but everybody else in the room understands it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're speaking for the room. Like that. It means if you can help the individual, great. But if not, everybody else gets benefit. So by this, those who are committed, that's why we have the things, those who are inimical, we just avoid them. Because there's no point in putting in that effort. Not for us. The Uttamadakaris, they may be able to do something with them. Like that. So that's one of the distinctions of them, is that they see everybody as servant to the Lord, so they talk and interact with anybody. Right? And so then they may be able to benefit people that we wouldn't be able to benefit. But when they come as preachers, then even though there may be situations like that, but the general thing is they where someone's inspired, that's where you put your energy. Because we don't have unlimited energy or time. So therefore, we put it where the best benefit is. You know, in the situation we're in. If we're in a situation that all there is a bunch of these people, then whoever's the best of that, then that's who we work with. But if you have people who are more, you know, sincere and like that, then we're going to put the effort into them. You know, you give the class, but you don't let them disturb the class, and you don't let them, you know, because they'll try to, we use the term railroad, but whatever it is, they try to take the whole center of attention in the class, and the class is all about them and their point, and unless that's answered, then nobody's getting any benefit, no one can move anywhere, you know, because they're the center of the universe. So that has to be controlled. So you generally see as individuals who, you know, might come to the class, means that's the extreme case, you know. But people like to feel that they're very much the center of things. And if they can't be the center, many times you see they don't stay. They'll come a few times for the class, and when they see that they don't get as much attention as they feel they deserve, then they tend to move on to greener pastures. Yes.
Also, we see in that case, in this type of cases, there are some who have doubts owing to their ignorance. And there are others who have misgivings.
Yes.
Mataji is pointing out those who have misgivings.
Yes.
They will never hear. But there will be a category of people who have doubts because they have never been exposed and all. When we speak immediately, it makes sense to them.
Yes. Yes, so you're clearing doubts. Misgivings, that will take time. So if somehow or another they're fortunate enough to keep that association or something, like you have, you know, those stories of people coming to the temple. And, you know, one was telling that they came with a friend. The friend wanted to go to the temple, but they didn't want to go to the temple. But because they were good friends and they were asked to come, they went anyway. So they went to the temple. All they did was argue the whole time. They took prasad. You know, and then they went again next week and then next week. After 9 weeks, that person who, you know, didn't want to go and was arguing, then they joined. So the point is, at first they didn't have the qualification, but by taking prasad they became purified. So then the misgivings are uprooted. You know? And by all that argument, doubts are definitely cleared. I mean, if all you do is argue for nine consecutive weeks, you've definitely covered a lot of ground. You know? Like that. Especially the materialists, they never stay on one point. They're all over the place, you know, like that. And so then they get purified. So if that happens, then great. And if not, then they're taking prasad. At some point it will benefit them. If not now, in the future or next life or, you know, something. So that's the benefit. It's there's no loss. But then if they're going to become devotees next life, then why put in the extra time now? Other than, you know, just the standard, what you give a general crowd. Right. You know, why they deserve extra if they're not, you know, does that make sense? Yeah.
Also, we see there are some who have misgivings, but their attitude is good in general dealings.
Yes.
So, like, I had a friend, like, he had problem with karma, free will. He said there is no free will. It's, when the topic comes up, it's always like, oh. And then after years, like 5-6 years, oh, now I understand what you are telling the whole 6 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what you do, is that when you have someone like that, there is no free will. Then you go, when you go out with them like that and you feel hungry, you order and buy two things. One that he really likes and one that he's not really that much into. And get them both. And when you put them down, you take the one he really likes. And when he goes, hey, how come you get that? There's no free will, hey. You know. Or you keep him there, and when he takes that, why did you take that one? Why didn't you take the other one? You know, because you put that one close, so that was you had to make it, that's free will.
Also, this also says one point is that we are like, when the point comes up, I was always discussing, it's not that I was shying away. Because
no,
we had realization. We have that relationship. So, but because of that, after 6 years, then he could connect everything. If he, I would have,
because he heard so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's
why
the
we
point.
Should not shy away from our duty and responsibility.
Yeah. So we do our duty. We preach, yeah. But at the same time, if you have an option between a situation in which people are going to take more advantage and people are going to take less, we'll take the one who has more. If all there is the one who has less, then we're going to do our duties anyway. You know, it's like Prabhupada says, the rice husking machine husks rice, whether it's in heaven or in hell. It does the same work. But difference is unavoidable because Brahma and Shiva are different by being indirect means of realizing Brahman compared to Vishnu, who is the direct means of liberation. An example is given. Partivad dharano dhumas tasmad agnis trayi mayaha tamasas tu rajas tasmat satvam yad brahma darshanam. Smoke is superior to dull wood, and fire, sacred to the Vedas, is superior to smoke. Similarly, Rajas is superior to Tamas, and Sattva is superior to Rajas, since it is favorable for realizing the Lord. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.24. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. As explained above, one can get released from the conditioned life of material existence by devotional service to the Personality of Godhead. It is further comprehended herein that one has to rise to the platform of the mode of goodness, sattva, so that one can be eligible for the devotional service of the Lord. But if there are impediments on the progressive path, anyone, even from the platform of tamas, can gradually rise to the sattva platform by expert direction of the spiritual master. Since sincere candidates must, therefore, approach an expert spiritual master for such a progressive march, and the bona fide expert spiritual master is competent to direct a disciple from any stage of life, tamas, rajas, or sattva. Right. So that's important because you'll get the aspect that from the mode of goodness then one can perform bhakti very nicely. But the point is, it's not that bhakti generates goodness. It's just that in goodness you tend to be more inclined towards something that's elevating. Or rajas and tamas, you're too distracted. So sometimes it's thought, though, until everyone's situated in goodness, you can't elevate yourself. Or, yes, no, we'll help the karmis situate themselves in goodness because they can't take up bhakti, and that way maybe in the future they'll be able to take it up. Talking as if sattva produces bhakti. It's just a nicer environment. But, as pointed out here, of course, that's your best environment is sattva because there's no distraction, or at least minimal distraction. But the expert spiritual master, then, whether than tamas, rajas, or sattva, he can guide them how to perform devotional service. Because if it's mentioned that even a dog can take part in the devotional process, so they're not famous for being in the mode of goodness. Let's say that, you know. So that means devotional service is independent, but goodness is your best environment.
Also, we observe that a person may be in mode of passion or ignorance, and when he start performing bhakti, according to whatever his conditioning allows, he'll be at least that level of goodness from where he can function. Means that much goodness will manifest automatically by practicing bhakti. Because if you are determined to practice, then whatever is functionable, that much amount of goodness already manifests in the process, so we need not externally endeavor, okay, we have to manifest that in that. Like the activities of bhakti are in transcendental modes, and then.
Yes, because bhakti is already, if you have pure goodness, already goodness is there. If pure goodness means it's focused on the Lord, there's no upadis. But we tend to get distracted by those. So that's the thing. Because in Dharmartha Kama and Moksha, there's an upadi. You know, even if you say is the Brahmavadis, that they'll say that they're Brahman, but they don't understand that as Brahman, they're servant of the Lord. Right? Jivir Sarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. So they understand we're jivas, but that's only part of the equation. That's why it's goodness, but it's not pure goodness. Yes.
Just coming to the yesterday discussion, then Jiva Goswami explains that Sangha Siddha Bhakti is actually that point, contemplating that I'm not Metta, I'm Brahman. But it's not Sarup Siddha Bhakti because it's not directly connected to the Lord.
It's
a further step.
Yes.
It's not Aropa, but it's not the natural position of the Jiva.
Yes.
So contemplating on all of those subjects, it's connected, but indirectly. So it's not good enough, actually.
Yes, yes. So that's the point. If we're making a distinction between spiritual and transcendental, then spiritual is a nice situation, but it's not complete. It's not good enough. Just like we have a nice room, but there's no people, no activities, nothing going on, nothing to be accomplished, then it's not complete. Yeah. So it's yeah. So but it's through what do you call it? What is it called? Sangha?
Sangha Siddhi.
Sangha Siddha Bhakti. It's through that we can come to the platform of the Sarup Siddhi, Siddha Bhakta. And by that, then we can get prema. So the purpose of Sadhana Bhakti is to bring you to Bhava. And Bhava can bring you to prema. Does that make sense? And so the association of devotees will bring you to practice devotion and service. So it's always important to note that it's important, but it's still not the ultimate thing. The ultimate thing always has to be that it's love for Krishna, pleasing Krishna. Then all the steps in between are important because they help you get there.
Yes.
It's just like, let us say you're going to someone's house and they live, there's big steps in front of their house. So to get up the steps then is useful to get into the house. But it's not about the steps, it's about being in the house. So we always have to be careful is that Sadhana Bhakti, it's important as it gives you devotional service, right? It means pure devotional service. But it's not that the sadhana itself is what's important. It's important because it brings us to that, right? So it's the devotion that makes it, not the form being used. So that's why you see the form being used by the living entities can be either used for Krishna or not. Like you can give in charity for Krishna or not. You can follow your duties for Krishna or not. You can be austere for Krishna or not. So being situated in goodness is useful because in goodness is the platform from which those activities useful in devotional service are performed. But it's still performing it for Krishna that makes it pure goodness. And so because we're so conditioned by karma and jnana, it's either I'm getting benefit from this, it's giving me the benefit, or if it's not, then I don't need it. So it's either it's accepting or rejecting, like that. So we see that's why we say they're on the mental platform. Because intelligence doesn't accept or reject. Intelligence says, this is this, that's that. Yes?
We observe what all the austerities Srila Prabhupada gave us, it can be performed by anybody.
Yes.
In up till any age, unless they become too old. But those extra ones which we try to do, they are contextual. Like at some age you can perform, and it's very nice. Afterwards, then it may not be suitable to you.
Yes.
So the most important part of doing all those extra things is to come back and situate ourselves in the platform where we're able to do what all our morning program and all consistently. Personally, I saw in my life, and in the beginning all those austerities came, it was not that difficult because we were accustomed to doing austerities or studies and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
But when it came to a position, now we have to perform consistently the right thing the whole day. It's actually more challenging than
those
austerities.
Yeah, because the austerities, the advantage is that means if you're into it, then it's a point of focus. And then when you're focused, then you can give it, offer it to Krishna. Just like when Dharana is there, then you can meditate on Krishna. Right? Like that. So it has its advantage because it's all these things to bring close. But devotion is another thing. So these things are used because the forms are used, and there's traditions of what forms are used. And so then they become an advantage there. But they themselves are not actually what generates bhakti, but they're the forms used. So in the spiritual world, they use those same forms. And so we like those forms. That's why then we come to the material world where it's a reflection, where we have the same forms, but we don't have to worry about Krishna. Yeah, you had something?
Yeah, I was thinking that the superiority of the process of bhakti is that from any condition you can actually dive into it.
Yes.
But the funny thing is that many who initially contacted bhakti, then after some time, to build in a platform of, like in the context of goodness, building that platform, it takes all of their energy. So they actually never dive into the process of, you know, Shuddha Bhakti, as, you know, Shravana Kirtan, like that. They just build that, and then, next life.
Yeah, no, that's
it. It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate. But the thing that you can see in there, if you look at this, then, now let's say you have a bunch of rough and ready individuals. Not necessarily so considerate or cultured. But by association with Srila Prabhupada, then you know, because this is, we're making a general point here, is that then they're able to be engaged in devotional service and focus on that. So now, is that not a glorious position? Despite their lack of, you know, being awareness and social awareness and other cultural elements like that, and so they might be a bit rough and tough and everything like that. So they're actually better situated than, like what you said, another person who is trying to develop the goodness and all that is not focusing on the devotional service. So their situation is unlimitedly better. So the idea of looking at, oh, back then it was not good and this and that, it's like, what kind of vision are they looking with? What's the measurement? Right? Because the thing is the real measurement is yoga maya. Right? Because you're saying miyate. Maya means to measure. Otherwise, if you do it by a modern social thing, yeah, it looked like it was bad. But then you're guaranteed to stay here. You know? But yes, that's why it's saying the advantage of those who can appreciate and follow Varnashram, because it makes it easier for them. Because Varnashram, everybody gets up early, everybody takes a bath. Everybody, you know, it's like, I think it was a comment of the person who, you know, I say, authored that book, what do you call it? City of Joy. Yes. You know, it's a big thing, I don't know what, 10, 20, 30 years ago or something. As someone had come to India or Calcutta and somehow another got intrigued by the you know, the unfortunate class that was living in Calcutta. I mean, you know, that covers most everybody, but specifically the ones with the unfortunates that had less material facility.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, the people living on the station in Howrah and, you know, the whole scene that was going on, you know. And but the one comment they made is everybody's clean. They're beggars. They have no place. They're living on the platform. Like, you know, when at night when there's no trains, they all sleep there. But they, in the morning, they're all taking bath. They're all like that. They're clean. They said, these are the poor, and they're the cleanest people in the world. So what about the cultured people? How clean they must be. You know, so that was the, you know, I say, the homeless beggar in Harris Station is cleaner than, you know, your gentleman in your first world country, you know, on average, you know, so. Yeah. So the point is that if you focus on devotional service, then those elements that are having difficulty will develop at their best, like it mentions. You want something, you worship Vishnu, you get better results than Brahma and Shiva. So if someone focuses just on trying to live the lifestyle in goodness and not so much on bhakti, better they focus more on bhakti, even though they're not able to follow all the different things so well, they will advance. And if they bring that point to that sincerity in that, remember Krishna at time of death, they'll go back to Godhead. Even if they haven't perfected everything here. That's why it makes the point. Someone who performs their duties not well, but it's for the Lord, they're in a better position than someone who performs their duties perfectly, but it's not about Vishnu. And so the devotee will go back to Godhead, and then any cultural anomalies that are there, it'll be worked out there, because people there will train you, and you don't have any conditioning that you identify, and so therefore it'll be worked out. Yes.
Yeah, on quite a few occasions when Srila Prabhupada was challenged, like, can you create magic and stuff? He actually pointed to it. He said, and some understood what it is, and some partially understood, but as you explained, that's the magic, actually. Taking people off the street and bringing them to the highest transcendental level.
Yes, yes. Because that's the whole point, is that there's an illusion that if you cultivate goodness, then you get to bhakti. You know, and it's just wrong. Being in goodness, that's better. But if you're not from the background of goodness, why would you try to cultivate goodness and then get to bhakti? Why not because bhakti will produce goodness.
Yes.
So why wouldn't you cultivate bhakti and then you get the goodness along with it? Because the other way you don't. But if someone joined, they're from a background of goodness, then they just engage it in the Lord's service. But they also have to be careful not to be attached to it. That's a problem. I remember one devotee, background of goodness, you know, like that. You know, really high class, you know, family and all that. So, you know, always did everything right, by the rules, everything, no problem. He had no problem with any rule or any austerity and anything like that. Very stable, very steady in the sadhana, you know. But if anybody did something that was against the rules, that he couldn't relate to. And so that would really bother him. Is how can they be devotees if they're not following these rules? And so that's where their weakness was, is they were attached to the mode of goodness. But it's got to be you're attached to bhakti. And so you're fortunate, you're in that position. These others aren't as fortunate, but bhakti is the real fortune. So by everyone being engaged in devotional service, that's where the real benefit is. Then they can move forward. So it would be a mistake to just focus on the sadhana. Oh, I can't chant my rounds, so what's the point? No, you keep chanting how much you can do. And then with time, the heart gets purified, then you're able to be steady. You know? Like that.
Mm-hmm. Another point I was thinking in the context of guna avatars, is that a perfect balance in the universe is maintained, actually, if you look closely, is the balance between Veda and Abeda. This is the only way to maintain that balance, because if it's too much difference, it loses its balance.
Right.
And if it's too much oneness, it loses its balance again.
Yes,
so the guna avatars, they represent that balance. With Krishna in the middle, which is the perfect balance.
Yes.
So only Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva explains how the whole universe functions. Otherwise it goes, you know, it just swings this way.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, because the others are, basically you can say is that philosophy is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Then, according to the particular time, place, and circumstance, certain aspects of that are brought out, you know, for the particular individuals of the time. But having been done, now Lord Chaitanya's appeared, now Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva on its own, without the help of these others, is being, you know, without the, you know, background of these others, you can move forward quite fine. Yeah. No, it's the only balance, because that's what the Vedas are explaining, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. That's why you see the confusion that in the Upanishads they're talking about how the Lord is one, but at the same time they're talking about how he's many, how he's a person, and how he's all pervading. It's because it's explaining the various aspects of Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. So, it is a mistake, therefore, to consider that worship of any quality or any form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally beneficial. Except Vishnu, all separated forms are manifested under the conditions of material energy, and therefore the forms of material energy cannot help anyone to rise to the platform of sattva, which alone can liberate a person from material bondage. Right? Because Brahma and Shiva being manifest is only because there's the material world. Right? Because you have Krishna and his pastimes and Raja, where's Shiva? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. He's not an integral part of the whole thing. So that potency is latent in the Lord, but it doesn't need to be manifest because there's no material world. Right? Because he is a function here. Right? Does that make sense? So he's not integral to the pastimes. You can say, oh, but there's a pastime where Lord Shiva comes to see Krishna and this and that. Yes, but that's because in Vrindavan, their mentality is as if they're in Gokul. They think like they're in Gokul, not in Goloka. They think human pastimes here in the material world. That's why you see even the Rajvasis, then they were saying, thinking that, you know, oh, you know, will we be able to go back to Godhead? And even though they're sitting in the highest transcendental realm, so then Krishna takes them to that kund where Akrura took bath.
Akrura got, yeah.
And then they saw the spiritual world and everything like that. And then they, oh, okay, nice, you know, like that. So it was kind of like fun for Krishna because they're already beyond that, you know. So that's how they think. And so therefore, then there's demigods, there's Shiva and this and that. So if Shiva comes in as part of the pastime, then it's fine. But you don't require the office of Shiva for the spiritual world to run, or Brahma for the spiritual world to run. You only require that in the material world. Because here there's creation, there's destruction. Hmm? Yeah. The uncivilized state of life, or the life of the lower animals, is controlled by the mode of tamas. The civilized life of man, with a passion for various types of material benefit, is the stage of rajas. The rajas stage of life gives a slight clue to the realization of the absolute truth in the forms of fine sentiments and philosophy, art and culture, with moral and ethical principles. But the mode of sattva is still higher stage of material quality, which actually helps one in realizing the absolute truth, right? It helps one, but it's not what generates it. In other words, there's a qualitative difference between the different kinds of worshipping methods, as well as the respective results derived from the predominating deities, namely Brahma, Vishnu, and Hara. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.24 purport. Smoke from fire is superior to the wood, darunaha, used to kindle a fire for sacrifice, which is inert like earth, partivan, and not related to fire like smoke. It is devoid of manifesting action related to Vedic rites. Smoke is related to the Vedas in that it is, to a greater degree, the placement of, the place of appearance of Vedic duties more than wood. Superior to the smoke is the fire, directly the place of Vedic actions. Similarly, Rajaguna, endowed with some sattva represented by smoke, which enables one to see Brahman, Ramadarshanam, is superior to Tamaguna. From Sattvaguna, represented by, superior to Tamaguna, remote from Sattvaguna, represented by wood. So, right, Tamaguna is represented by wood, right? Rajaguna by the smoke. Rajaguna allows one to see Brahman in the sense that it reveals the Vedic actions, which represent the appearance of the Lord. The word tu indicates that, compared to tamas, which is fully destructive, rajas gives a slight understanding of Brahman in the form of a slight manifestation of shadow qualities, since rajas is the cause of covered jnana. Complete realization of Brahman is not possible, since rajas causes agitation. right? You have some realization, but it also gives agitation, so you can't focus that well. Sattva, represented by the fire, is directly the means of seeing Brahman, right? Because the fire is directly what you're worshipping. It is a means of realizing the form and qualities of Brahman directly, since sattva is pure and peaceful by nature. Thus, Brahma and Shiva are indirect means of attaining the Lord, and Vishnu is the direct means. Because right? These others help, but they're not the actual. Vamana Purana says, the three forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva arise from the great Vishnu. Vishnu takes the form of Brahma within Brahma, and the form of Shiva within Shiva. The form of Vishnu is however, situated separately. Right? So they say, oh yes, the Vishnu within, but he's also separated separately. It's not that, oh, he's just within them. He's also on his own. It is said in the Brahma Samhita. Right? So Brahma is Brahma because Krishna is within Brahma, making him Brahma.
It is a saint for every living entity.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But he's saint, separate. Yes.
It's pointed out in Parasara Smriti that the Gunavataras and even the demigods, they have more Paramatmaamsa than the normal Jiva. This is what it is.
They have more Paramatmaamsa. These Paramatmas bigger.
Whatever.
No, it just means there's more potency from.
This sounds good. I have more Paramatma than you.
Yeah, my Paramatma is bigger than your Paramatma.
Yes, different.
Yeah.
It went to hasta size.
Yeah, yeah. It is said in Brahma Samhita, I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who becomes Brahma, the creator of the universe, by bestowing his powers to that jiva. Just as the sun dispels a small portion of its powers of heat and light in all the sun stones which represent it, I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who becomes the form of Shiva, who is said to be non-different from Govinda, but who is also different because of his contact with the transformations of Prakriti. Just as milk becomes yogurt, which can be said to be non-different from its cause, but acts in a different manner, I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who expands as Kirudakshay Vishnu through Mahavishnu and Garbhadakshay Vishnu, who is non-different from him, just as a large lamp lights up a second lamp, which lights up a third lamp, which illuminates with the same quality of light as the original lamp. One should not think that Brahma becomes directly transformed through the word vikara, though the word vikara is used in the verse explaining Shiva, since direct transformation of Brahman is rejected in all cases. Right? So it's indirect. The Brahman is the Shakti, is what's transformed. Shrutestu shabda mulatvat. The defects of the agent do not apply to Brahman because of scriptural statements, which are the only proof concerning inconceivable subjects. Brahma Sutra 2.1.27. It is said, some define you as matter since it remains after destruction of the universe. It is like the transformation of clay into a pot. Some Shrutis testify that the universe appears and disappears while Brahman remains unchanged. Some of the Shrutis take you to be the mind, words, and actions of this world. But by indicating you in terms of material objects like pots, such a statement appears to be ignorance to us. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.15. The three examples given in Brahma Samhita should be understood as follows. The sun, representing the Lord, reveals himself a little in the sun stone, which represents Brahma. The Lord, represented by milk, is not fully present in the person known as Shiva, who is represented by yogurt. However, the Lord, original flame, is fully revealed in the form of Vishnu, Gunavatar, represented by a second flame. Right. So Krishna is there, the original flame, then there's Vishnu, then you see is then Shiva is then that transformation of yogurt, and Brahma is just like the sun and the sun stone. There's some aspect of the sun and the sun stone. So the same, there's an aspect of Krishna's creative ability in Brahma, and therefore, while Krishna is taking care of the internal potency, so as the internal potency as it transforms, then the Lord takes care of that energy. So that transformation, that Shiva. But he does not do the functions of Vishnu. He doesn't take care of internal potency. He worships internal potency.
It's very apt examples.
Yes. Yeah. No. Very nicely. They show exactly how each one of them is.
This is the answer to all the Maya bodies. The Panchopasama eternally exists because they claim that the Shankara, you know, Adi Shankara, established that kind of worship.
Mm.
Well, we see Brahma Samhita, it's in the right in the beginning of the creation. All the features of Panchopasama is mentioned in there.
Yes, specifically, isn't it? It's far out.
Yeah, it's very exact, and it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Sutta spoke thus, the verse. Priti, having stated that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are indirect means of realization, right? Because meaning that wood and smoke, they're indirect. But when there's fire, that's then. Whereas Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Lord. The next Anucheta further affirms this by detailing the position of Lord Shiva in relation to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Lord Shiva is always united with his personal energy, material nature, and thus embodies the material ego in the three modes. Hence, the devotee of Lord Shiva may attain all material opulences by pleasing him, but cannot go beyond the modes On the other hand, the devotees of Lord Vishnu can attain liberation because Lord Vishnu is beyond the material modes. Mm-hmm. Anucheta 14. Three verses explain this. Shiva is always united with his personal energy, material nature, manifesting himself in three features, in response to the entreaties of materials, entreaties of nature's three modes. He thus embodies the threefold principle of material ego in goodness, passion, and ignorance. The 16 elements have evolved as transformations of that false ego. When a devotee of Shiva worships his manifestation in any of these elements, the devotee attains all sorts of corresponding enjoyable opulences. The Lord, however, has no connection with the material modes. He is the Supreme Lord, the all-seeing eternal witness, who is transcendental to material nature. One who worships him becomes similarly free from the material modes. Right? So we see as you worship Shiva, then you can get the benefits within Shiva's realm, you know, his influence. But you see you worship Krishna, he's free from the modes. Therefore, you become free. Shiva's not free. Therefore, you never become free. So this idea that the Shaivites and those who worship Shiva and all that will get liberation and all that, that they'll only be within the material Mahatattva. It may temporarily not be within the universe where they're taking part in the activities of karma, right? But at the same time as they don't, you know, it's just a matter of time before they're again engaged within these, because Shiva is the Lord of all three modes. Shiva is united with his energy, with the upadhi called Prakriti, in a state of equilibrium of the gunas, from the beginning at all times, Shashvat. When the gunas become agitated, the upadhi is manifest as the three gunas, Trilingaha. Shiva becomes covered by the gunas, which have become manifested, Guna Samvritaha. Udriti. Srila Prabhupada elaborates on this aspect in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as follows. Maybe put a colon. Right? Vishnu is beyond the range of the material manifestation, and he is not within the control of the material energy. He is a supreme independent personality of Godhead. This is admitted even by Shankara, Shankaracharya, Narayano Paro Vyakta, Gita Bhashya. In his constitutional form, Shiva is a Mahabhagavata, a supreme devotee of the Lord. But because he accepts Maya's association, especially the quality of ignorance, is not free from Maya's influence. Such an intimate association is completely absent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Lord Shiva accepts Maya, but in the presence of Lord Vishnu, Maya does not exist. Consequently, Lord Shiva has to be considered a product of Maya. When Lord Shiva is freed from Maya's influence, he is in the position of a Mahabhagavat, a supreme devotee of Lord Vishnu. Vaishnavanam yatashambhu. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 23.11 purport. So what we see is that when he's performing his duties under that, then he has that aspect. Then when he is focusing on the Lord, then we know him as the Mahabhagavat. Does that make sense? So it's not that it's different persons, it's just the aspect of what he's doing.
Yes, that explains also, when he united with Maya Devi, his abode is within the universe. And
yes,
when he is, you know, meditating on the Lord, his abode is outside of the universe.
Yes.
So he's got two places, basically.
Yes, yes. Yes, so it's just a matter of which. So that's why you see is that part that didn't connect with Maya, that's Sarashiva, he stays outside. And that that does goes is in. Yes.
The same as Maya also has two aspects, the Guna Maya, which manifests material elements, and the Jiva Maya, which covers.
Okay.
So, I mean, if it also means that the Jiva Maya is where she complements Lord Shiva's Sadashiva aspect, and the Guna Maya is where the material world within the ego and Lord Shiva.
I mean, you could probably take it like that, but at the same time, within the universe, she's also using both. You know, because that's the thing on these, when we're making these comparisons like that, they can be used, but you have to still keep the overall. But if we take it, there's overall, and there's one example here, and we take that and remove it and make that the prominent one, then it will, as Prabhu mentioned before, it gets out of balance. So we're taking something that doesn't deserve as much position. You know, it's just like, let's say, a person, it was a hot day, and so, but they came to the temple, and so then we make take a stand that it's only because it's a hot day, the cement's hot, and therefore you can't walk on it, but because he was wearing shoes, he'd come to the temple, therefore the most important thing in devotional service is shoes. Right? Then we get a problem, because it's out of balance. Because so many people have shoes, but they're not coming to the temple. You know, so that means that there's something else, and it's supportive, it's useful. So we always have to be very, very careful in this. Like sometimes you see, hasn't been so recently, but we can see in previously, especially when we're working with these formulas, that the formulas are trying to be used in so many areas. And then sometimes it's how much they've thought about it, it's kind of artificially put into that situation. But then, because that was their meditation, they try to make that the prominent. And so it doesn't balance properly.
Ayendra, he made it, you know, an interesting comment connected to the music or kirtan. He says that if chords following your mood, that's beautiful. But if you just play and trying to put the mood into the chords, that kills the whole vibe of the music, because people knowing, like you say, putting everything in the boxes, then they know chords, so they try to put everything else, you know, under the, like, chords are the supreme.
Yes, yes. If you play this chord, then it's that, but you play that.
And, yeah. And
oh, actually, no, in the kirtan, you play the wrong chord.
You see, it doesn't match.
Yes.
Because they don't follow, like mridanga, they don't follow the kirtan leader, or even kirtan leader himself, he's not that expert, so he's playing chords, but it doesn't match the original melody.
Yeah, or it doesn't match the mood.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah, so it's just they follow. That's the whole point of that original before, is that if the devotees understand that all the good qualities in that follow bhakti, you focus on bhakti. Because trying to avoid bad qualities doesn't mean that you're trying to be a devotee. It means we may be interested in avoiding them because we want to be a devotee, and that's useful. But so, therefore, but the focus is still on devotional service and avoiding what's not useful for devotional service. So the reason bad qualities are avoided because they don't have any benefit in devotional service. So, you know, so it's just like if I go in the kitchen and I avoid all the things that I'm not supposed to do, but I never actually do the things I should do, you know, we will get very hungry.
It's very often to always maintain the primary as primary, mm-hmm. the secondary. Because there is, when very often at some time there is a mixing of priority.
Yes.
Coming and problems are coming.
Yes, yes. You know? Yes. As I think Prabhupada was pointing out that point. Is it back here? The one where he's talking about all the social and development and all those different things. Yes, so back here. The Rajas states of light gives a slight clue to the realization of the absolute truth in the forms of fine sentiments and philosophy, yes. art, culture, with moral and ethical principles. Yes. Right? Yes. So we have to be very careful because this, like nowadays, you see people are talking this, you know, in the media and everything. And, you know, and so because they are using finer sentiments, then they're considered in a higher position. And they are higher than those in ignorance. So they're generally commenting on those in ignorance and how their position is superior and how that viewpoint is superior. And in one sense, they're correct. But the difficulty comes up is they don't know about goodness, which is how to realize the Supreme Lord. So goodness is what is more helpful, not this passion. So this whole thing, unless we have these ethics and these moralities, then no one will take us seriously. We will not get anywhere because somehow or another, those couple of academics that we know down at the university, they're controlling the whole society, right? Yes. The society moves. So when they raise their eyebrows, the whole society changes. And it's like, If you did a count of all the people in the city or a country like that, a handful might even know that that university exists. And probably no one knows that they exist. You know, but somehow or another we're so worried that, oh no, because they're the. So that's the point. It's just the mode of passion. So you can't take them. It means it's nice that they're taking these principles and they're trying to find a finer thing. But the point is that above that's goodness, and above that's pure goodness. So yes, it's better than Thomas. But the point is you don't offer ghee into smoke; you offer it into fire. The mantra is not, "My dear smoke, please carry this offering to the Lord." It's, "My dear Agni, you please carry it to the Lord." Yeah. So that's why we have to be very careful, is that, yes, they are better, but they're still not as good as. You know, it's just like, he may be the best. You know, it's just like a contemporary kind of like joke. You may be the best musician, but there's an Asian that's better than you. However good you are, there's an Asian that's better. At least amongst the musicians, this is always a joke. You know, they're doing a fabulous thing, and then there's this 5-year-old, you know, Oriental kid that plays the same thing. It's kind of like, what? You know, it took me 20 years, and this kid's 5. When did they start playing? Oh, you know, 9 months ago. You know, something. It's like that. 9 months, a year and a half. You know, and they start when they're 3 and a half. You know, and now they're playing, you know, Mozart and that with a symphony orchestra. You know, it's kind of like, what? You know, so. Yeah, it's a joke among the musicians. Is there's always an Asian that's better than you. Yeah. So it's like that. Is that you have this passion, and you have these fine things, the society and the politics and the politics and the social and this and the people and all that. And these are, it's good. It's better than ignorance. It's better because the wood, nothing's going on. Smoke means at least it's starting to get move something, but fire is better still, and it's way better.
There was a Korean or a Mongolian, somebody, one magician. He was like far off. So he showed practically everything, and then he made the statement also. If you think there is always a reaction better than even magic.
Yeah. So it's always because the focus is, like I went to Muktinath. I asked him, how long does it take to get from Pokhara up to Muktinath? And they take, I said, I think normal is 6 days up, 5 days down. He says, oh, okay, so long. And he said, and then after that, everyone said this, not just one guy. So many people said it. But if you're Japanese, it takes you 2 days. Because they don't look right, left, and I just go, you know. And so, yeah, okay, you know. So it'll be 2 days up, one, so in 3 days they'll go up and come back.
Yes.
Everyone else, 11 days. Like that, you know, so like that.
No, it seems that in India there are the best things, the best people, and also the worst ones.
Everything's there because you have the. Otherwise, how do you get the whole universe out of? How do you get everything out of here? Like that. So that's, you know, not wanting to disturb any sentiments, but in the 11th canto, it makes the point that those who are pious enough to maintain human life, but not pious enough to maintain a birth in India because of the, you know, faith in the Veda and things like that, they take birth in the outside India, in the West. So that's why you have all these, you know, where do you get this 5-year-old kid that can play all this music? You know, he was a musician in India before. You know, and then from there, who knows where they go. So, it does say that, though. I wouldn't say that very often or very loudly.
Not
in English. Other places might agree, but yeah, definitely not in English. Said in German, they go, oh, that's why we appreciate. Okay. And English don't say that. Oops. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.